availing yourself for the interview.
Thank you.
We have provided the associated to our writing note.
Yes.
We request that there is a pen somewhere there, but you put your own pen, which is good. Then on your writing note, when you leave, then we request that you take your, the one that you have written. Members, they ask you questions, they will introduce themselves. But also, if there is a question that they didn't understand,
we talked to the DG, she told us that top management from director, what is being trained
the top director is being trained by the power, by a bed, his management and everything. Okay, thank you. I'm saying that, of course, I joined the public service when the program was already going on in Limpopo. Lastly, the people were dealing with it were treasury and government, public service and administration. But when I came in the public service in 2011, September, I was then appointed to be the convener of leadership and management practices. So one of my tasks was to check the capacity of the state to deliver on the mandate. So I started with Limpopo because there were a lot of things. When I went there, I met with the director general at that time, was a lady, and we checked the capacity of the state in human resources, the capacity of the state in implementing project management and all of this. They said they are trained, they are doing very well. In fact, the best was training their directors from upwards and so on. They've been attending the School of Government, and we really need to worry. And 2 months later, then we had the intervention. And the department, it's clear that I was misled at that time. And it was clear that Limpopo was in big trouble. And our office, of course, was working.
I want to remain direct. Because still now, you go there.
Yes.
And you're supposed to investigate, advise, and put recommendations.
Exactly.
But however, the can of them just open down the line.
Yes.
Now, I want you to be very specific to say, please, when our recommendation and the reluctant or this to be asked by this and the reluctant.
No, at that time there were no real investigations that were done. There was a discussion within the commission about what intervention the next step was to do. One of our commissioners at that time was Commissioner Mawasha, was the one on the ground who was working with them. Myself, I was from the right to try and understand it. So to a certain extent, the people who had played a major role was treasury and who even sent people for administration, because part of the program was financial control and the treasury was bankrupt. So the reports that ourselves had done, which I know were done by the members before, were one relating to human resource management and development. And the report then that were here is that basically state of human resources was not properly carried out, because after that, I remember before Commissioner Mawasha left, the new premier had asked now to check how DDG and a number of them were appointed and things like that. And it's those recommendations that then we sent to the premier later on. So we participated later on in the task force that. But there were no quite decisive reports that were done by the TSC.
No, it's not a dialogue, it's a follow-up. My follow-up is the recent thing, when we are aware that you are interviewing some of your colleagues.
Yes.
So when we get information and then we have to try and evaluate the client in search to us, then we can check it.
Yes.
The authenticity of that information.
Yes, no, I know.
Yeah. Now, we are saying Mr. Mawasha was the commissioner at that time.
Yes, in Limpopo.
In Limpopo.
Yes.
Okay. And then when you went there, it was him who briefed you.
No. He accompanied me. The person who gave us for the teach went to him.
Okay.
Yes. The teach of the problem.
Okay.
Romani Adrukhan, and voicing for me is my sign language interpreter through the Denison. I'm going to ask you with relation to financial disclosure. Can you explain how it works, firstly, and then secondly, the problems facing the PSC the compliance rate is very low. So if you are appointed to the Public Service Commission, how are you going to make sure that the compliance rate intensifies and that people financially disclosed from management level upwards?
Thank you very much, Honourable Member. I must just say first and foremost, in terms of our figures, in almost all the provinces, largely the disclosure itself is very high, especially with the introduction of the disclosure. We had a slight problem because of change of premiership and governance in KwaZulu-Natal, but after the latest figures we filed up the commission, we're also coming up to 75 and so on. So we've got 90, 75 in other provinces like Free State and also Western Cape, we have 100% disclosure. The challenge that we have is the verification process that takes long in order to check with the systems, the CIPROs and others to check that, and then because the process is elaborate, you've got to consult the public servant yourself now with the commission in terms of verification, and got to go again and give this person to comment on it, then you've got to give it to the EA to deal with whatever recommendations that are going to. But the critically important thing I can say about the regulation in that regard is that the Public Service Commission is the one that really has to do all the work that will ensure that the public service is not conflicted and advises the executive authority that public servant, there might be potential conflicts which should be managed and cleared or resigned and so on. But I think in that regard, we are doing a very good job. We have started earlier to do something, but now the Public Service Commission is doing 100% for that. But of course, there's always a year delay.
Thank you, Mr.
President.
Thank you very much, Chair. I just want to very briefly get a, having been in the Commission yourself, around the issues of political interference, whether you believe that there is political interference in the public administration or public service, and if there is, what you think the causes of that, or most importantly, how then moving forward that can be rectified. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, we've had this issue of political interference in public administration, and it's a difficult one, because what really happened in our public service is that pre-1994 we had a public administration staffed by officials from the past, largely. And then with the change, skip the interim constitution and get to the final constitution, then there was a shift, because even the Public Service Commission itself had all the powers it was appointing to administration and so on. So the new executive was basically left out. And it had to be served by people who doesn't trust, whose policy framework they don't share the same values. So then we took a definite decision to shift all the human resource powers of appointment, recruitment, selection, strategic planning, and so on, and gave them to the executive. Then the Public Service Commission itself was merely made an advisory, a supervisory, and a recommendatory kind of body to the political authority. So we shifted those powers. So it is possible today in the public service that a minister can appoint even a secretary and not delegate anything. That's the law, because the rule about delegation is the mere delegation. So when public servants and ministers are interfering in appointments or what, it's not an interference, it's what the law says they should do. And obviously, again, part of the problem, if you look at Section 195.4, it also allows that there should be a layer of political, of policy appointment in the public service, which allows some people who are politically acceptable but qualified, there's a requirement that they should be qualified, can be appointed by politicians. As of now, the limits that have been done by the new minister is basically the three directors general and the directors general. who then are appointed on policy consideration. But from Chief Director downward, with a new delegation, those are appointed freely. So that is what is happening. So the question that we should ask ourselves now, that after 22 years of freedom, have we developed a sufficient cadre of professionals that will serve the public of the day loyally and lawfully without playing any partisan political things, and will understand the national development plan, the policies of the government, the state of the nation, the constitutional framework, and have imbued those values, especially the values that are in Section 195. And therefore, is there a need, therefore, to start shifting lawfully many of the things that were given to the political leadership to run a political administration? But in my studies in the commission, we have found that in all administrations, in the American administration, in the Brazilian administration, in the Chinese administration, there will always be a role. Even the Malaysian Public Service Commission will talk to recommend to ministers the appointment, but it will discuss with the minister about the question that there must be some chemistry and understanding about how to implement that. So I'm saying there is politics, it's a political area. It is allowed within the constitutional framework. There is some abuses sometimes, but they are not within the law.
Thank you so much, Honorable.
Thank you. Morning.
Morning.
Zani, we see that in the National Development Plan they've identified the developmental agenda.
Yes.
And it seems as if the public service hasn't got the capability of really implementing the developmental agenda.
Yes.
What do you believe can the Public Service Commission do to support the public service in developing that capability in order to assist with this so-called developmental study? Thank you.
Yes, Ms. Barnett, this is an important question. It is one that any patriot in our country feels bad, because to a certain extent, this country, when you look at developmental indicators in terms of allocation of resources in the major areas, it allocates quite a lot of resources. And then the failures that you see are part of ourselves, the public service, because the Public Service Commission, which is a body in Chapter 10, is the only body that is put in Chapter 10 to actually not to celebrate the failures of the public service, but to ensure that the public service that is efficient, effective, and economic in use, and that is skilled properly and ethically to drive the agenda of government. So to a certain extent, ourselves in the public service have to take a lot of time about that. But let me just say briefly, the challenges that face our public service today and so on is not certification. Certainly, if you compare the apartheid public service, which has standard six and so on, we have a highly qualified public service with a lot of paper qualification. But the problem, one of it, discussed with Minister Zimande also, is the question of the skilling. When you get in the area that I'm trained in law, you get a student who is trained in law and an LLB. That doesn't have to be when you get the contracted contract. Most of the contracts will be drafted by the consultant and your team of government. So there is a gap between the skilling, and our education does not train people to make government a career of choice. So there's a gap between ourselves and what the education teaches, even in strategic planning, even in economic planning. So government, we employ people who are not ready really to implement the government agenda and the government program, and especially to do the planning that is required, because we have this multi-year financial planning which can allow us to do planning. And in that process, government then lags behind in its developmental agenda. We have discussed, especially ourselves, with the Department of Public Service and the School of Government, to try and work either with the schools of government and also with the training to coordinate this training thing so that we can ensure that there's an induction course that allows our officials to be inducted, like to see in the French college that they go to train, and also in places like Malaysia to do such a like an induction course to make them for 3 months understand the public service. But we do need to go on job training. But more importantly, we also need to coordinate the kind of training that will ensure that their values. If you go to Malaysia, for instance, they will even have their courses in patriotism. If you go to the Chinese training thing, they will train them. You can't be a public servant in China if you don't understand the economic system of China, the international policy of China. You understand the etiquette and protocol of speaking like that. So we need to agree on a model of public service. As of now, the kind of training that we have for our public service, they can be trained by vets, they can be trained by consultants, some of them are trained that way. So that's why governments took a very important decision in the palm to actually make this school of government. But it should not be an academic school to compete with the universities. It should work together with the universities to try and mold the kind of public service that we want to develop based, of course, on the principles of our constitutional framework, especially the 195.
Thank you so much, Mr.
Thank you, Chair. Good morning, Dr. Sivani. When you were responding to the questions of your colleagues, you automatically responded to all my questions as well. So I don't have a question for you.
Thank you. Mr. Sivani,
that sounds great.
with all the responses of Paul that
I've
been listening to,
yes.
What new creative value add that you can bring if you are putting into the operating room
I really think one of the things that we are working on, I think one of the areas that we, the country we are criticized mostly is this idea of corruption in the public service. I think all the frameworks are there, all of the legal frameworks, the fraud plan, the thing. But I think the thing that we've really not gotten is this question of the preventative thing, building an ethical professional public service that can induce and embodies these values internally now, not academically. And that's a problem. In fact, I had a meeting before I left with Father Michael Kasper to say, with that, how can we work together to get to the heart and the mind of the public service? Because one of the things compared with the public private sector, we pay very well as a public service. And there are so many benefits, some of them we need to review them on the present government. So we pay very well. So the stealing is really not that necessary, but there's a business that we want to do. So I think we need to deal with that. One of the things also, so that we get this value and get a professional public service. When I discussed with public service, some of them were even asking, can we form an association with a colleague? Can we ensure that, like in other countries, this public service really becomes a carrier of choice? Even if they register, like lawyers register and nurses and teachers to register, is one of the things that I think if we can have a campaign together with the police and others to work on those matters, because the policy framework and the rules are there. And if you ask the public service, they will sing the laws and everything to deal with that. The second aspect that I think the country needs to do is that also, there's an unintended consequence in the sense that we have to deal with corruption. One of the unintended consequences that we waste money is that, for instance, it is possible in our public service today for a person who has not stolen, but has not taken people that are necessary, but has done the work, then you get a director general and somebody else take a million, asking PricewaterhouseCoopers and others to investigate this so-called corruption. And it actually creates another waste of resources. You can't use a million to investigate 200,000, especially if the food that they got. And we deal with that. And the third element that really I would want to appeal to members, I mean, even if I don't come back, at least if members can take this thing. We are countries that does not give people a second chance, or that does not give people a benefit of the doubt. And I don't know, because we're 80% of efficient society. And in that process, you find that, which really worries me, that a public servant today, and the senior public servants that I talk to and interact with them, are really scared to take any decision, because you can't make a mistake. If you make a mistake, you corrupt and other things. And in that sense, you find the public servant to now must be a lawyer, must be an accountant, must be everything. Everything that has been taken out, you've got to check it 3 times because it goes out. And in that process, I must really say, honorable members, I'm not trying to be solved. It's difficult when you get a situation where you can be infiltrated by the crime investigating police, you can be infiltrated by the public protector, you can be investigated by a policy, you can be running in the media, and so on, and you only know later on that actually you didn't do anything. Then you are free after 3 years saying a government not getting paid. So there is something that we need to deal with corruption, but we need to deal with that consequences, and we need to protect reputation, because nobody now who likes his name wants to be associated with public service, and the way people are treated, and they can be just attacked and destroyed without anything. So I do, it's one area that I do want to make a campaign on. I'm still one of those who are committed to the idea, Madam Chairperson, that the Constitution was not wrong in asking us to be accountable to Parliament. And I think the strength of our commission can be strengthened as long as we work together with this committee, and this committee follows up on our report and recommendation, and that coordination with others is very important. I was following now up on the public protector, for instance, on the notion of remedial action that is binding. It's good that it is binding, but I was discussing with that office. They're not already now, because they are binding, they are facing 22 cases of
remedial action. They might just say they can do it. And so, I think that
I was not talking about that. I'm saying, but the problem.